So for the past few weeks, we've been exploring the biblical basis for many of the modern, or for the modern Christmas carol that we've been singing all month long, and that is Sing We the Song of Emmanuel. And when I first considered this approach for our Christmas series this year, you know, I analyzed several different Christmas carols, both modern as well as ancient, and all points in between. And what I discovered in that process is that there is a definite anatomy for your trip, for your typical Christmas carol. Now, I'm not referring to all those various Christmas songs, secular Christmas songs that you might hear during the holiday season, such as Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, or White Christmas, or Jingle Bells. I mean, those are all fun and good. You know, I like to try to sing Here Comes Santa Claus, but there are a lot of words to it, you know. Recently, I actually had the opportunity to sing a lot of these secular songs at the Champions for Kids fundraiser at the Rogers Convention Center. Me and a couple of other guys, by the way, the guy who looks like Santa Claus is Pastor Dan Carson, but me and a couple other guys got to stand there in the foyer and greet people as they walked through the door, and we were singing some of these kinds of songs, you know, the secular songs and whatever, and it was awesome to watch both children and adults walk through the door, and when they would hear the words of these songs, a smile would come across their face as the sound of these carols filled the air. You know, in fact, one lady said, "You guys just made my day. You know, it's Christmas now." And I was like, "Well, that's cool." But even though these songs have the intended effect of bringing joy and laughter and hope for the season, can I just say that singing about silver bells and Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph is not really the source of our joy? True joy is only found in one thing, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. And so that's why we sing songs such as Joy to the World. Sing it with me. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. We're going to stop there because you guys did not look joyful as you were singing that. But that's the goal of this music, is that we will be filled with joy as we sing it. You know, many of our Christian Christmas carols have lyrics that speak about the joy and about the peace of God. It speaks of praise for our Savior's birth. And we often sing about joy at this time of the year. But as David has already alluded to this morning, if we're honest, the reality is that most of us are facing today things that are anything but joy-filled. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke or my burden upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I wonder this morning, how many of us here today are heavy laden, as the scripture says? Who here is thinking that the best gift you could possibly receive this Christmas would be rest for your soul and rest for your body. If this is where you find yourself today, maybe you will be able to identify with this next modern Christmas carol. If you've noticed, I've asked the band to stay up here. They're going to lead us in a song that you might think sounds familiar because it's called O Come, All You Unfaithful. Band, would you lead us in this song? Amazing band. That was so unenthusiastic. I know that we kind of take them for granted sometimes, but God has truly blessed us with an amazing group of musicians, and I am so very thankful for them. And I want to invite you, while we're talking about our musicians, we're going to be having a candlelight Christmas Eve service at 5 o'clock on December 24th. By the way, that's Christmas Eve. And I would love it if you are there. It's going to be a great time of congregational singing, an opportunity for us to lift up our voices to hymns both old and new. I think there is only one song that you're not going to want. That's not what I meant. Let me start over. There's only one song that you're not going to know. And it is a beautiful song sung by my niece, Miss Rachel Burns, that is called the Magnificat, and it's in our hymnals, but it is a beautiful, beautiful song. So we invite you to be here, and we invite you to bring friends and neighbors, people who need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ at this time of year. You know, Christmas carols come in all different shapes and sizes. In this series, we've looked at both ancient as well as modern carols. And many of these carols have been musically uplifting. And you may not be a musician, but you know when a song is uplifting and when a song causes you to think deeply on something. You know, some of the Christmas carols that I have sung this Christmas honestly sound more like a funeral dirge than they do jingle bells, you know. And when you look at the anatomy, look closely at the anatomy of a Christmas carol, there are always certain theological themes that emerge in those. Things such as the incarnation of Christ, the fact that God came down to be born as a baby, became a man in the likeness of a human being. His birth is the incarnation. Also, you see the fulfillment of prophecy taught in these Christmas carols. All of these things from the Old Testament that have come true in the person of Jesus Christ. Those prophecies are usually part of a Christmas carol. You also have the purpose for which Christ has come. He did not come just to be a baby in a manger. He came with a purpose, and that was to live a life of perfection so that he could die on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. And then usually the Christmas carol has some sort of call to praise and worship the newborn king. Now, some carols include the additional challenge to proclaim this good news to the world. And that's exactly what we find here in the Song of Emmanuel. If you have your hymnal, I'm going to invite you once again to take it out from the pew in front of you or the chair in front of you. And we'll be looking, first of all, at hymn number 727, Sing We the Song of Emmanuel. We sang it earlier today. We've sung it every week this month. But I want us to take a moment and read these verses. You know, I love to sing, but sometimes when you read a song, it just hits differently. You pay closer attention to the words you're saying because there's no music there to distract you. Verse 1 says, Sing we the song of Emmanuel. This the Christ who was long foretold. Lo, in the shadows of Bethlehem, promise of God, dawn, now our eyes behold. God most high in a manger laid, lift your voices and now proclaim, great and glorious, love has come to us. Join now with the host of heaven. Come we to welcome Emmanuel, King who came with no crown or throne. Helpless he lay, the invincible, maker of Mary, now Mary's son. Oh, what wisdom to save us all. Shepherds, sages, before him fall. Grace and majesty. What humility. Come on bended knee. Adore him. You know, in verse 1 of this song, it begins with the teachings of the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Old Testament. And then it quickly moves to focus on the incarnation of Christ, the ultimate God-man, 100% God and yet 100% man. And verse 2 carries on this focus on the incarnation and the condescension of the second person of the Holy Trinity when he became made in the likeness of human beings. But it doesn't stop there. Verse 2 also proclaims the glorious purpose for which Christ came. He came in grace. He came in majesty. But he came in humility. He came to save us all. So as we sing this song, what is our natural response? What should our response to this truth be? Well, that's what we see in verse 3. We should go spread the news of Emmanuel. Read along with me as I read verse 3. Go spread the news of Emmanuel. Joy and peace for the weary heart. Lift up your heads, for your king has come. Sing, for the light overwhelms the dark. Glory shining for all to see. Hope alive, let the gospel ring. God has made a way. He will have the praise. Tell the world his name is Jesus. Well, it's on these lyrics that we are going to focus our attention this morning as we finish up this study from the Song of Emmanuel. Thinking about what it means to go spread the news of Emmanuel and to tell the world his name is Jesus. Now, as we've done before, we'll be taking lyrics from this modern carol and looking at the biblical foundation for the truths that this song is teaching. But along the way, we're also going to consider some additional hymns as well as carols that teach these same truths as well. So to begin this morning, let us return once again to the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah will be looking at chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52. And we're going to read what the prophet has to say when it comes to the essence of this good news of Emmanuel, this joy and peace for the weary heart, as the hymn writer said. So let's read Isaiah chapter 52, beginning in verse 7, just reading through verse 9. The Bible says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy. For eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together in singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem." So the first thing that we want to pay attention to this morning is actually the second phrase in our song, Sing We the Song of Emmanuel. And that is that we should go spread the news because it is joy and peace for the weary heart. Joy and peace for the weary heart. Did you notice what it said there in verse 7 of Isaiah 52? It said, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation." You see, the good news, which is also the word gospel, it comes from the same original word. The gospel is good news. And that good news brings joy, and that good news brings happiness even to those who are weary of heart. This word publishes in verse 7 says that publishes peace and publishes salvation. This word in the original language means causes someone to hear. In other words, if I'm standing here in the pulpit and you're in the room, I could speak in a way that you might or might not hear me, but when I'm preaching the word, when I'm proclaiming the word, I am causing you to hear, because how can you get away from my big mouth, right? That's the idea of publishing peace, publishing salvation. The hymn says, joy and peace for the weary heart. God is causing us to hear about His joy and peace for us who are weary of heart through the songs that we sing. I know that I often need to be reminded about the joy of the Lord and the peace that His salvation brings. Even here at Christmas time, I often need that reminder. I often need to be reminded of the words of Jesus in Matthew 11 that I read just a moment ago, when Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly, and you will find rest for your soul." That's what the birth of Jesus Christ was all about, is giving us the opportunity to find rest for our souls. And that's why we need to sing songs such as number 321, a beautiful song that you probably are unfamiliar with. Look at it if you would. It's a fairly new song, although the words are fairly old. Written in 1824, the song was written in 2023. But it's a song called "Come Unto Jesus." And if you'd like to hear this song, I have a link in the YouVersion interactive notes. You can go there and you can click on that. I would prefer you do that later, but if you play it now, we'll just all listen, you know, whatever. But this song says, "Come unto Jesus, all you who are weary. Come to the mercy seat, fervently kneel. Here bring your wounded heart, broken and needy. Come unto Jesus, mighty to heal. Joy of the comfortless, light for the straying, hope of the penitent, peace in our strife. Here speaks the Comforter, tenderly saying, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come unto Jesus. Come unto Jesus, lay down your burdens, He is enough. Come unto Jesus, rest in His love." You should hear Laura's story sing this song. It's beautiful. We need songs like this to remind us of all that Jesus has to offer us in the way of rest from our weariness and the anxieties that we face. You know, I love the old Christmas carol, "O Come All Ye Faithful." When we sang that this year with the Singing Men of Arkansas, Pastor Dan Carson had the solo for this. And, you know, his big bass voice, which some of you don't remember Pastor Dan, he was a pastor here on staff, but he has this big bass voice. And it was, "Oh, come all ye." And he just kept going. I mean, it was this beautiful, beautiful solo. But you know, when we sing that song, "Oh, come all ye faithful," do you ever have the feeling of, maybe I don't meet up to that standard? Maybe I don't quite measure up to be one of the faithful who is coming? I think that's why the song, "Oh Come All You Unfaithful," resonates so much with me. You know, I love both songs, but oftentimes when I need the Lord the most, I don't feel very faithful. But here's what we need to understand. Jesus is not only calling the faithful to come to Him, but those who are wounded, those who are needy, those who are broken, and those who are weary. He says, "Come to me. Come to me." Now you may be thinking, "Well, how can I do that? How can I go to Him in my weariness and my trials?" But the Lord makes it clear in His Word, and we looked at this just a couple of weeks ago in Philippians chapter 4. He said, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." He is saying to us today, come to me in prayer. Don't be anxious in anything, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. The gospel brings joy and peace for the weary heart. Well, let's look at the next phrase in our song of Emmanuel. Goes on and says, "Lift up your heads, for your King has come. Sing, for the light overwhelms the dark." Sing, for the light overwhelms the dark. There's something about singing that simply makes life better. And you may be looking at me and say, "Yeah, but Brother Wade, you like to sing." I do. I do like to sing. But did you know that research shows that singing has all kinds of benefits, both emotionally, mentally, and physically? After I started this sermon series a few weeks ago, one of our regulars, who's actually not here today because they're traveling to see family this week, but I received a text from her about the physiological effects of singing, especially singing in a choir. And so after she shared this with me, I was like, "You know what? I need to do some more research on this." And according to Google Gemini, which, you know, it's AI, it can't be wrong, right? According to Google Gemini, singing has both emotional as well as mental effects. Stress and anxiety reduction, because it lowers your cortisol levels. It has a mood boost because it releases endorphins, serotonin, and dopamine. It has feelings of connection because oxytocin promotes trust and building, and that comes out while you're singing. It helps your mental health. It can alleviate symptoms of depression. I loved what one church member said just a few weeks ago. She was helping someone else in the church to deal with just the difficulties of life. And she said, "When you get these feelings, make sure you're listening to good Christian music. It makes a difference in your life. But it's even better, not just listening, it's even better when you participate. When you engage in the music and you sing, when you make a joyful noise, whatever that looks like. Singing makes a difference. It makes your life better." It also brings about positive physical effects. To name a few, respiratory, it improves your lung capacity when you sing. Your immune system, and this is what the article was about that she sent me, it increases the immunoglobulin A. See, I don't know what that means. But what I do know is it is an antibody that defends against infection in your body. Singing does that, as well as many other things. But even with all these benefits, emotional, mental, physical, even with all those benefits, the greatest benefit of singing is a spiritual benefit. Why? Because we should sing, for the light overwhelms the dark. Back in Isaiah chapter 52, we read just a moment ago, in verses 7, 8, and 9. And in verse 8 it says, they lift up their voice, together they sing for joy. Verse 9 it says, break forth together into singing, for the Lord has comforted His people. Folks, if you are in a dark room and you turn the light on, has the darkness ever overwhelmed the light? No, because all darkness is an absence of light. Darkness cannot overcome light. Light always overcomes darkness. And singing is light. Sing, for the light overwhelms the dark. There is a beautiful, beautiful hymn that is found on number 719 in your hymnal. It's a hymn that probably most of you have never heard before. It is one of my favorite hymns in the entire hymnal. It's called Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence. This particular hymn dates back to around 347 AD. That's almost 17 centuries old. Okay? But in this hymn, because it's so old, it's kind of hard to understand sometimes. And this is the song that I was mentioning earlier that kind of sounds like a funeral dirge. Looking at verse 2, it sounds like this. King of kings, yet born of Mary, as of old on earth He stood, Lord of lords in human vesture, in the body and the blood, He will give to all the faithful His own self for heavenly food. Kind of ominous, isn't it? What's he saying there in verse 2? What he's saying is that Christ, who is far greater than any king or leader that the world has ever known, Jesus Christ chose to be born in a humble barn to a teenage girl. He's Lord of everything, and yet He clothed Himself in the messiness of human life, knowing all along that the whole purpose of His mission was to die for you and for me. Verse 3 goes on, says, rank on rank the host of heaven spreads its vanguard on the way, as the light of light descendeth from the realms of endless day, that the powers of hell may vanquish as the darkness clears away. Let me put this in modern language as well. Can you picture the scene? In heaven, at the moment that Jesus Christ is born, thousands of angels lined up to witness this event as it's happening. Armies of angels led by Gabriel and Michael stand at full attention as the light of the world, the creator of all things, descended to earth. And that light cleared the darkness. It broke the silence. It changed everything. There's a song, number 533 in your hymnal, that is simply Psalm 27, the words of Psalm 27. It's another beautiful song. It's also sung by Laura Story. If you follow the link in the YouVersion interactive notes, Laura Story and Jordan Coughlin sing this. But it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When troubles arise, no foe can harm me. You are my peace. You are my peace. You lift me above the raging storm. You've conquered my enemies. Lord, you are my shelter. God of my salvation, I am not forsaken. Lord, my shield and protector, waiting on your promise, I will see your goodness. What a beautiful song. Folks, the light dispels the darkness. And so as we think about this, we need to sing because light overwhelms the dark. Well, let's hurry on to move forward in the book of Isaiah, to Isaiah chapter 60. Just a few pages over if you're still with me in Isaiah 52. In Isaiah chapter 60, the first four verses talk a lot about what we see next in our song of Emmanuel. Read with me if you will. The Bible says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to your brightness, to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip." You see, the next phrase in this verse 3 of Sing We the Song tells us glory. Glory shining for all to see. Hope alive. Let the gospel ring. What's this talking about? This glory shining and this hope that is alive. Well, we find a biblical basis for this in this passage in Isaiah chapter 60. You see, verses 1 and 2 make it clear that the glory of God will be reflected on you to others. When you live your life the way that God wants you to live, your life will show the glory of God to those around you. Verses 3 and 4 go on to explain that the glory of God will draw people to you as you display his glory. Glory shining for all to see. Hope alive. Let the good news ring. The glory of God, this light that's prophesied by Isaiah, is shining, and it provides hope for all the people who are shrouded in darkness. It says thick darkness covers the earth. Folks, we need to be that light to others. We need to show, or better, reflect the glory of God through the way we live. Do you remember what Paul told the church in Rome about the, the Old Testament, all the prophets and the writings in the Old Testament. Paul said in Romans 15:4, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Praise God for all of the prophecies that have come true in the person of Jesus Christ. Because of that, I have hope that it is truth. And not this hope that, well, I hope it's all right. I hope it works out. No, I have an assurance that Jesus Christ is the answer for all things that's wrong in this world. I have that assurance. Glory shining for all to see. Hope alive. Let the gospel ring. Jesus is the glory of God. He is the light to the nations. A couple weeks ago, we read from Luke chapter 2, verses 29 through 32. And it was that moment when Mary and Joseph took baby Jesus into the temple on his eighth day of life to dedicate him and to pronounce for everyone to know his name and all of that. And when they got there, an old man was there, a man who had been promised by God that he would see the Messiah before he died. And when Simeon took that baby into his arms, he proclaimed, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Glory shining, hope alive, let the gospel ring. Charles Wesley penned the words of Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and he said this very beautifully in verse 3. He said, Hail the newborn Prince of Peace, number 779. Hail the newborn Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more to die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. So hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Look at something in that. Very first line of the song says, Hail the Son of Righteousness. Has anyone ever noticed the spelling of the word son there? Jesus is the Son of God, but here it is saying that he is the light of righteousness, the S-U-N of righteousness. And it goes on and says, light and life to all he brings. Folks, when we live our lives for God, we reflect the glory of God for him day by day. We demonstrate the living hope that we have in Christ as we share the gospel with those who have no hope. Those people in our lives that have no hope, we need to be that light. We need to demonstrate that hope to them. That's why Peter said, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. We must always be ready to share that hope. Well, quickly, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 52. And we're going to read through this. These verses we've already read and then read three more. Verse 7 says, How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, Your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy. For eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, "You waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. Purify yourselves, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out in haste, and you shall not go in flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the Lord and the God of Israel will be your rear guard." Here in verses 10, 11, and 12, we find this idea of going out. Going forth. The very first phrase of the Song of Emmanuel in verse 3 says, "Go, spread the news of Emmanuel." That's what Prophet Isaiah is telling us to do. Go, spread the news of Emmanuel. The shepherds in Luke chapter 2 are our best example of this. They show us by their actions what it means to go and spread the news of Emmanuel. The Bible records what happened that night of Jesus' birth. It tells us that the shepherds bowed down in fear and in awe at the appearance of the angels. When they came to them out there on the mountain, they bowed down. And then it said they responded to the angelic message concerning a Savior. The angel said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord," the long-awaited Messiah. What did they do? They went to see the Christ child. They went and worshiped him. And then what does the Bible tell us they did? They went and told everybody they knew all about it. They spread the news concerning the Christ child to everyone. Folks, we have that same responsibility today. We need to have a healthy fear and understanding of our status as sinners. Without Jesus Christ, we have no hope for the future. We have no hope in this life. We have no hope in the life that is to come without Jesus Christ. And so we need to respond positively to the good news, that gospel message of Jesus Christ. And then we need to go and spread that good news of salvation to everyone. That's the reason that Brother David sang earlier today, "Go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it on the mountain." I have no idea where that one is. It's on over. Number 794, there it is. "Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born." The shepherd's story is told in the three verses of this song. But the refrain, or the chorus, is actually the focal point of the song. So much so that unlike most hymns where you have the verses first and then you sing the chorus next, not in this one. They put the chorus up front. It's the very beginning thing. This is the important part. Go, tell it to everyone. We need to go and tell it. In this time, this Christmas holiday season, there are so many things competing for our attention. And so many of those things are ungodly. I didn't say they're bad, but they're ungodly. They're not the true meaning of Christmas. We need to share the true meaning of Christmas. And that is all about the message of the gospel. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, the Apostle Paul writing says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." A simple proclamation of this good news. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But then he goes on and he says, how will they know? How will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, and he quotes Isaiah, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? Folks, we have a responsibility to share this good news. And there's no better time to let God's glory reflect in your life than at Christmas. There is a societal, a cultural expectation that you should be joyful right now. Shouldn't we, who know the truth, be even more joyful? There's no better opportunity to share your living hope with those who have no hope in this life or in the life to come. So, who do you know that needs to hear this good news, this message? I've told you this before, but I'll mention it again. Christmas Eve is the one time of year that is most likely that people will come with you to church. Studies have shown people will come with you to church on Christmas Eve when they will not come any other day. You would think maybe Easter, right? But actually that's number three on the list. Christmas Eve, Mother's Day is number two, and then Easter. You have an opportunity in the next 3 days to reach out and be a light to those that you know who need to know about the hope of Jesus Christ. My challenge to you this morning is twofold. Number one, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you need to settle that issue right now. Number two, if you do know Jesus as your Savior, you have a responsibility to Him, not to me, not to this church, but to Him, to let others know about the love that the light of the world brought down when he came and was born as a baby in Bethlehem. Will you take that good news to those who need to hear it? Father, we thank you for this time together, and we ask God that you would help us to see this responsibility. And Lord, I just pray that you would put people on our hearts and in our minds as we are thinking and singing this song in just a moment. Lord, help us to understand your will for us, and help us to be obedient in carrying the message of the gospel to those who need to hear it. But Lord, if there are any here today that do not know you as their Savior, Father, I just pray that you would convict them of their need of salvation. Give them the courage to step forward and trust in you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.